This podcast is intended to support UK healthcare professionals with education. The information provided in this podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice or treatment, and patients are encouraged to consult healthcare providers, including nurses, for any medical questions or concerns.
Welcome to Stoma and Continence Conversations from Coloplast Professional, where healthcare professionals and experts by experience discuss the latest hot topics in the worlds of stoma, continence care and specialist practice. I'm Hannah Patterson. I've worked in specialist care and I'm currently the Ostomy Care Associate Education Manager at Coloplast. Today we are talking about body image and individuality.
The last option you was to have was have a stoma, and I didn't really know much about it.
My coping mechanism was then helping other people and supporting other people, so that's when I set up the support group.
I don't generally think you have time to worry about your body at the times when you're so ill. Yeah, I was that ill that I didn't really think about anything other than just trying to get better.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Today I'm lucky enough to be joined by two of our ambassadors, Yvette and Martin. So I'm going to bring them both in. I'm going to say hello to you, Yvette, first. It's not the first time you've been to join me. So I'll say hello. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm good, thank you.
If you could just give us a little reminder about where you're from and your little bit about your stoma background for us.
I'm Yvette. I am from Derbyshire. I have had a stoma for, it'll be 11 years now. And I had a stoma for ulcerative colitis. And I've got four children, two crazy collie dogs, and my partner, Ollie, he also has a stoma as well.
Lovely. And then welcome to Martin. Martin, it's your first podcast with us, so thank you for joining me.
Hello, and yeah, thanks for having me.
So if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, because obviously we've not met you before.
My name's Martin Harvey. I'm 34. I had ulcerative colitis, and I've had a ileostomy bag, since 2016 for ulcerative colitis as well.
Your stoma is a little bit older, Yvette, so I'm going to come to you first with this question. That sounds awful, doesn't it? Your stoma's older. You're old, Yvette, sorry. You're old stoma.
I'm older than you.
So back when you first had your stoma, what were your main concerns when it came to, because I will say, you know, I'm laughing about being old, but you know, you guys were very young to have stomas ultimately, because there is still that taboo out there of stomas being thought of as something for older people. And you guys were both young when you had your stoma. So what were your main concerns at that stage when you were told you were going to have your stoma?
Yeah, so I was 31 when I had my stoma. I'd got the four kids. My youngest was like 13 months old. So, you know, as a family, we enjoyed going on holiday. We enjoyed doing things, going out with the kids, all that kind of stuff. And my biggest concern was, what am I going to wear? What clothes am I going to be able to wear? Is it going to show? Is it going to look okay? Like, can I get away with wearing the stuff that I used to wear? Am I going to be able to have the confidence to wear a bikini? All that kind of stuff. They were the things, obviously, you know, apart from getting myself well, that was the main priority. The underlying stuff was, how am I going to live a normal life in things like, are people going to know? Is it going to show?
Yeah, that's quite a common thing that, I mean, women as general, we always worry about what we're wearing, what we look like regularly, then add a stoma into that, and it does throw up a minefield of decisions. So what were your coping ways? Have you got any ways that you coped with that body image?
There was lots of things that I did, really. Obviously, then, sort of, the social media wasn't quite as big as it is now. But to start with, I went from a small start of talking to the kids, you know, making sure that they knew about it. I wasn't going to sit there and hide it away. You know, I wanted to talk to them about it. And I started off with that really small, like, awareness, if you like. You know, I gave them all jobs. And the eldest, I said to him, you know, because he was, what, 11? And I said, look, you know, you can help me decide what clothes look good. And then the next one down, he was 8 at the time. And I said, you know, we're going to have to name my stoma. We need to get a name for it. And so I gave him the job of naming my stoma. He was really big into SpongeBob SquarePants at the time. So my stoma is named Sheldon from the SpongeBob SquarePants. He kind of blew me away at the time when we told him about what was going to have to happen. He was like, wow, Mum, that's really cool. Because it means when you're playing Lego, He said, you don't have to waste time and get up to go and have a poo. You've got a bag, you can just do it in your bag and you can keep on playing the Lego. So, you know, it just starting from the very, very basics of talking to the kids and then slowly working my way out to tell other people. And then from then on, my coping mechanism was then helping other people and supporting other people. So that's when I set up the support group that, you know, I know previously we've talked about, and set up the support group for younger adults who've got a stoma in our local area. And by helping supporting other people, that helped me to get my head around it and support myself as well, I guess.
And it's that paying it forward almost as well, isn't it? It gives you that coping mechanism then. I'm going to ask you the same question, Martin. I'm not sure, I'm guessing you probably didn't have the same worries about wearing a bikini or anything like that, but...
No, I think those days are over.
What were your main concerns when you knew that you were going to have a stoma?
Yeah, I was 26 when I had had emergency surgery. I wasn't really very much aware of what a stoma really was, to be honest. I sort of had it all failed medical treatments that I could have, and my surgeon said the last option you was to have was have a stoma, and I didn't really know much about it. And ended up having to have emergency surgery and then sort of just woke up with one. So I didn't really have the fear of the unknown, if you know what I mean. I woke up and it was there, and all I knew that it was just going to give me a better life, because I was going to the toilet 30 times a day. So whatever I looked like, it wasn't really going to bother me. Do you know what I mean? I just wanted a bit of normal life back, because for 2-3 years I had sort of no life. But like I say, I was quite young, probably a little bit fearless at some times. But yeah, once you've come out of hospital, then you do get some dark days where you think, actually, people are going to start staring at me, and probably worried me a bit, because obviously I had my son, he was quite young, and I wanted to take him swimming and stuff like that. And I was thinking people are maybe going to stare at me all the time. But then I thought, looking at the bigger picture, that it saved my life, really. So I was looking past that, and I wasn't too particularly concerned about what other people thought, because I knew that I'd got a better life coming after what I'd had.
Yeah, and I think this is something you hear a lot from, especially IBD. You almost develop a body conscious issue. Then, you know, I remember when I was having my treatment for IBD, my weight would balloon up, down. One minute I'd be thin as a rake, the next minute I'd be blown up like a balloon. And you're already in that conscious thing about your appearance. So actually you've kind of already developed little coping mechanisms anyway to sort of deal with people looking at you potentially and things like that.
Yeah, like you say, I was on ridiculously amounts of steroids to try and keep it under control, and I don't know if people heard of it, it's called Pred Face or Moon Face or whatever.
And I
used to look like a bowling ball everywhere I go, and then I'd go into hospital and I'd lose loads of weight, and then I'd be really skinny. And yeah, I don't generally think you have time to worry about your body at the times when you're so ill. That's the last thing you can think about. Maybe people are different to what I am, but I was that ill that I didn't really think about anything other than just trying to get better. Because obviously you've got a young family, I was trying to make sure I could work and make sure I could look after them. And you probably put yourself to the back of the pile a little bit.
I know you touched on work there. What do you do as work, Martin?
So I'm a carpenter, so I've got quite a physical job. So, yeah, the operations absolutely battered me, to be honest. And it took me a long, long time to try and get back to some sort of level of fitness to get back to work. When I had my first surgery, it took me probably a year to feel okay, to be honest. And then I was having other problems, little niggles and dehydration problems and things like that. But, yeah, I can imagine that it would be slightly easier if you had a less physical job than I had. But it's all I ever knew, do you know what I mean? So I couldn't really start. I couldn't really start and just go and do something else, because you've sort of worked your way up from the bottom to where you are. And then I sort of had to persevere with it. And just, it was quite a mental battle, probably, looking back at it now.
Yeah. But
like I say, I had a young family, a wife and a little boy that I had to sort of be strong for and get back to work so I could help and provide for them.
Collarplus Professional offers a lot of educational material for specialist nurses and healthcare professionals. Visit collarplusprofessional.co.uk to find out more.
It's interesting that you both talk about actually the families are almost your driving force there to get yourselves back to that element of normality there. You'll be able to spend time with your kids, with your families, something that you've both really spoken really passionately about there, which is really, really lovely to hear. And I love what you were saying about that you wanted to get your family involved with the stoma, and like from down to things like naming it. I admit when you met said SpongeBob SquarePants, the first name I thought it was Gary the snail. I thought maybe because it looked like a snail. But yeah, you know, Sheldon, okay, I can understand that as well.
I mean, that would have been a good alternative.
Yeah, well, my little boy used to just call it an ouchie because he literally just think it looks sore.
An ouchie.
So, so even my little girl calls it that now.
The ouchie.
Yeah.
But again, that's all about this sort of individually being people with a stoma. Some people don't name them at all, but some people actually that is part of their coping mechanism. Having that name, I remember mine was called Bert the Bowel. So yeah, it had Bert the Bowel and Bert's Bag.
Yeah, like I say, I think it is probably like a bit of a coping. It probably gives it a little bit of fun around it, because I know it's probably quite a sensitive situation that a lot of people can feel, and some people are stronger than others. And yeah, if you can make a bit of fun around what you're in, I think it may become a bit easier, if you know what I mean.
And it's also when you're in public situations, well, say around people, if you need to go to the loo and deal with your stoma, to me, like my friends used to go to me, "Oh, you have to deal with Bert." I'd be like, "Yeah." And that was like a fairly normal conversation. Whereas, "Oh, yeah, you're going to go and do your stoma." So, yeah, actually, it makes it a lot easier for other people around and to have general conversations. And, you know, if everyone was listening over our shoulder, they'd wonder who the hell Bert was and why I was off to the toilet with him. But there we go. I don't know if you guys have noticed it, especially more on social media. Now, I know that you touch on social media. Actually, body image is taking on a bit of an overhaul with stoma care at the moment. It used to be about making stomas invisible, not to be seen. The less people knew about them, the better. And that was what body image was all about. Now, all of a sudden, and I'd say it's even more really over the last couple of years, as recent as that, people are embracing having a stoma. You're seeing people, they're actually not wanting to hide it anymore. Yeah, you get all these lovely patterned bag covers. There's black bags out there. There's even, I've seen other like flesh colouring tones out there. There's so many different types out there now. And it's not actually about what's the most invisible necessarily anymore. People actually are happy to show it off. Have you guys noticed that? I'm going to come to you first, Yvette.
Yeah, absolutely. I've noticed definitely in the last couple of years, there's become a definite increase in people wanting to, you know, show off their bag and be proud of it. And actually, this is about who I am. It doesn't change me as a person, but it's part of me now. And that's how I'm going to roll with it. Do you know what I mean? People, you know, I'm happy to show off my bag, you know, if I've got a bikini. Do you know what? The amount of times that I've kind of in my head been thinking, oh, everybody's looking, but actually, do you know what? They're not. They're more bothered about their own wobbly bits and the bits that they don't want to be on show. And actually, it's just a different way of doing things. So there are a lot of people who are happy to get their bag out and embrace it for what it is. And like you said, there is so many different sort of combinations of things. You know, I saw somebody a few weeks back that they'd got a lovely bag cover on and they'd got a load of bling on it. And I think she was getting married or something, and she'd got a white bag cover, and she'd put loads of diamantes on it, and she'd really blinged it up. And it was just about, you know, her being so individual and that she was embracing that as part of who she is.
And how about yourself, Marty? Have you noticed that shift in opinions as well?
Yeah, definitely. When I envisaged having a stoma, when I first heard about it, I was thought, oh, it's going to be like sort of you assume it's going to be for old people and that sort of stigma around it. But knowing now, like I think it's quite common between like 18 and 31 year olds. There's so many different types of bags and colours and like you say, covers and everything you can think of now. So like it's not just individuality, but everyone's got the same bag. It's like everyone can have whatever they want. Sometimes when I wake up from my surgery and I looked down and I had like a clear see-through drainable bag and I was like, Jesus, I'm not having one of them. And I woke up and I was like, that can't be it, surely.
Every single ostomer is traumatised by that clear bag post-surgery.
You literally look down to look at your wound and you're like, "Jeez, I'm not going out like that."
Is this what I'm getting?
You see the lovely stoma nurse who's come around with like a bag of different bags and you're like, oh, thank God for that.
Thank you.
when I first had it, I think I got like a Batman and a Spider-Man one for my little boy, just put that on just so he could see it. Do you know what I mean? And he loved it. And I think I got one for him as well, and I just stuck it to his T-shirt and we just walked around with it.
Oh, but it is all about, and I think it's not just with stoma. I mean, I spoke to Sammy on a podcast the other week, and she's got that individualization with, because she's got her feeding tube and she's got all these beautiful tapes. So rather than just using like the micropore, she's got all these beautiful tapes. Her feeding stand is the most elegant looking, beautiful thing ever with all the flower arrangements on it. And people are actually embracing what used to be known as hidden disabilities actually aren't so hidden anymore. They're actually becoming visible disabilities almost, because people don't want to hide them away anymore. And I think it's so nice. And it is really over the last couple of years, you have noticed things more. And obviously it's thanks to guys like you that there's getting more awareness out there. I want to touch back on the family aspect of things. What is your kids' understanding regarding the reasons that you've had stomas? Is that something that they talk about with their friends and things like that?
I mean, you know, you can play Lego for longer, but no, they as they've got older, like I said, the youngest, Ruby, she was only 13 months at the time when I had my stoma, so she's not really known anything different. That's always the way, even to the point of, like I've mentioned earlier, my partner, he's got a stoma, and when she was about 5 or 6, she was like, well, when do I get mine? Because it was so normal to her that he had one and I had one. She was like, well, when do I get mine? But they are all very aware, even to the point, you know, because I had it for ulcerative colitis, if ever anybody's got a dodgy belly or they're feeling a bit uncomfortable down there, they're like, I text my poo mum. I did check it to make sure that there was no blood there. So they are aware. I don't think that they could probably go, oh, yeah, well, mum had ulcerative colitis from the age of 19 till, you know, she had a surgery at 31. But they are all aware that, you know, and their anatomy in science at school is absolutely top notch for the digestive system.
And I love the fact there that you actually, again, your children, they don't see anything abnormal about a stoma. It's like, well, yeah, well, you've got one. Ollie's got one. Why haven't I got one? Hang on, I'm a bit left out here.
Exactly. And even the eldest, not long ago, one day, I think I'd got some of the Coloplast packs where you've got the fake stoma in it. I'd got some at home, and the eldest, he found them and he was like, oh, wow. So he then got the bag out and he plopped it on his belly, and then he took loads of pictures on his own social media, bearing in mind at that point he was probably maybe 18, 19. And so he's got a lot of, you know, younger friends on there, and he put it on there and he wrote this whole spiel about how, you know, my mom and my stepdad, they have to wear this on their tummy. So I'm putting it on my tummy to raise awareness, to show people that, you know, you can still live your life regardless of what you've been through. And it was brilliant, all completely off his own back. We didn't sort of like say, hey, you should do this or anything like that. One day he's like, hey, mum, look, you need to go and look what I've tagged you in on social media. And I was like, wow.
Oh, that really warmed my heart. That's just, and so for him to do it off his own back as well, that is just, and again, credit to you and Ollie, because you've just shown the kids there what a normal life can be led, not to be conscious about it. So all credit to you guys on that one, really, really. How about yourself, Martin? Because obviously your family's a lot younger. How do they sort of associate? I know that you said that they refer to it as your ouchie.
Obviously, I had Oliver when I was 24, I think. He was 2 when I had my stoma. So he, like a vet said, he's always been around it, sort of thing. It's never really bothered it, and he's always just like intrigued to see what it was. And whenever he comes to see me in hospital and stuff, like when I was staying in hospital and he saw my scars, and yeah, he's never, he used to bring his doctor kit into the hospital to try and fix me, to get me home quicker and stuff like that. But yeah, so he's always been around it, and it's never sort of really phased him. But I think he was aware that, like, I always said to him that daddy's had a bit of bad stuff taken out of his stomach, and the doctor's sewed it up back now, and now daddy's going to be a lot better than he was. And yeah, I think he's just pleased that his dad was back and sort of thing. So he's always been around it. And then, like, obviously my little girl, Florence, she's a lot younger. She's starting school this year now. So I've had that obviously 6-7 years now. And yeah, she's just been around it as well. So both of them have just been around it. Like, it doesn't phase them one bit. I don't think anything of it, to be honest. I think it's always been there and it's always part of me. So that's all they've known.
Again, similar to a vet saying about her oldest coming out with the stoma on his bag on his tummy. And I love the fact that your little lad came into a hospital with his little doctor's kit to try and get you out there a bit quicker. And it does just show that they are like sponges, aren't they? And they're actually so aware of what's going on. And the influence you guys are having, I mean, he was only two at the time, Martin. And he, as far as he was concerned, he knew what that doctors could get daddy better and get you out. And with your elder, although he was 18 at the time, as you said, he was aware enough to know that things weren't affected by having a stoma. And I just think when it comes to talking about health and things like that, they're not the greatest at talking about it. And to have these open conversations out there, I think is just really lovely.
It is. And I think also it's so nice to know that you're nurturing a child who is going to be so understanding and so compassionate. You know, you don't know what they're going to come across later in life, whether they're going to have a partner who's got some kind of hidden disability, or, you know, there could be somebody further down the line who's got a stoma themselves, and, you know, my kids might be involved in them, you know, romantically or whatever. And I know that we're nurturing these children to be accepting of any issue or disability, and it's not about that defining that person. It's about the person as an individual inside, not about what color bag you've got on or what scar you've got. It's about the person and what makes them them.
And I think that is just a beautiful little statement to finish on there. Actually, I almost hate the song because of the me behind, but it's like that song out The Greatest Showman, is it? This is me. This is part of me. I'm not going to be ashamed of it. And I hope it carries on. Long may this carry on, this revolution of being proud out there and proud with what you've got, your scars, bags, disabilities, anything you've got out there, going out there and being proud of it.
Yeah, I've always tried to involve both my kids with it. Like even me changing my bag, but I'm not like scared to show them because my little girl is always like poking her head around the corner, like, "Daddy, what's that? What's that? What's that?" And like if I get out of the shower and I've changed my bag and I forgot something, I'll shout my lad and he'll just come and bring it to me, and he knows what I need because he's seen me do it so many times. It's like changing a bike tire, do you know what I mean? So he'll bring like whatever I need, and he's like, "Dad, don't you need to do this, or don't you need to do that?" And yeah, so yeah, they've just grown up with it and they just accept it.
I think we've maybe got some future stoma nurses in the making between your pair's kids there.
Yeah, definitely.
We've covered a few different areas of the country as well. So there we go. Stoma care is in a safe place for a few years. Thank you both for joining me. So thank you to you, Yvette, again for joining me. And I think this is our third one now, isn't it?
Yes. Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you for joining me on your first one, Martin. So as Yvette will tell you, I give people no choice. You are going to come back and join me again at some point. You don't have a choice. Once you've been on one, that's it. You're stuck with it then.
No, yeah, thanks for having me. It's probably a bit of a mission trying to get me on, to be honest. I think I was supposed to come to two or three before, but just didn't work out. But no, I've enjoyed it.
Thank you both so much. And to everybody listening, we'll see you at the next episode. Thank you for listening. To see more of the wide variety of education we offer, please visit collarplusprofessional.co.uk. See you next time.
Stoma and Continence Conversations is a Vibrant Sound Media production for Collarplus Professional.